Welcome to the Fund2000.com Real Estate Podcast. My name is Chuck Hamm, and today we're going to talk about foreclosures and a specific aspect of foreclosure that every buyer in foreclosure should be aware of. All right, well, today's podcast has a title that I like. I didn't come up with the name of the title. It's Property Rights Unlocked, a deep dive into the case Shetty versus HSBC in the California Court of Appeals. So this is a little bit of case law that came out recently about HOA foreclosures and what happens with specific liens and property rights of a mortgage and a borrower, a successor in interest, after a foreclosure. So in this case, we have Shetty, who buys a condo at foreclosure. Now, this is not your typical foreclosure because it's a foreclosure auction brought by a homeowners association. They're commonly known as HOAs. So an HOA in La Habra, California, nice community, has a condominium in which the homeowner quits making payments on the dues. That's the only way an HOA can bring foreclosure, is if there are missed payments on the monthly assessments or whatever the frequency of the assessments are. Or in other words, an HOA cannot foreclose only for fines and penalties. They have to, there has to be missed payments. So the HOA there first liens the property. That's the requirements. First, the HOA has to record a lien against the property, and then they can file a notice of default, and then that starts the 90-day period before there can be a sale at foreclosure or auction. And Shetty, you know, shows up to the sale of this condo brought by the HOA, and he buys a property. So the question is, what did Shetty buy? So that's the first question anyways, because a lot of times when you go into a foreclosure, people will go in assuming that, oh, when I buy a foreclosure, I am buying the property free and clear of all encumbrances and defects on title. And that's not really true, especially with an HOA lien foreclosure. With an HOA lien foreclosure, California state law is that the first mortgage remains. And that's important because the first mortgage is usually going to be the biggest mortgage. It's going to be the biggest amount of money that's owed. It's usually going to be the one of the highest payments, and you want to know that before you buy an HOA foreclosure. So that's the first key point here, is if you're going to a foreclosure auction and the beneficiary that has brought these proceedings, the foreclosure proceedings, has something like association or homeowners association in the title of their name as a beneficiary, then that should be your first clue that this is an HOA lien foreclosure, and that you need to really look carefully at title. You should always look closely at title. There are other ways, there are other situations and issues that you should look out for when you buy any property at foreclosure, let alone an HOA foreclosure. Shetty buys the condo, the La Habra condo, and he, I don't know what he was doing with it. Maybe it was an investment property. Maybe he was living there. I'm not sure. But not long after, he ends up getting a notice of default against him, against his rights, against the property. So he's receiving this notice of default, not because he did anything to default, but because the first mortgage holder was no longer receiving payments, just like the HOA had not been receiving payments. And they are initiating their own foreclosure proceedings now so that they can foreclose on the property. And they're going to wipe out Shetty's rights at this point to possess the property, to have possession of the property. And that's not good for Shetty. So Shetty has to do something here. And Shetty, I don't know if he knew this before he got into it, but he discovered, or he knew, that he could reinstate the first mortgage. Now, what is reinstatement? That means instead of paying the first mortgage holder off entirely for their whole lump sum, whatever that entire mortgage was worth, what was still owed against the property, He wanted to reinstate, which means make payments the way the original borrower made payments. And that's interesting, a part of law here in California, and I'm not sure maybe other states do this as well, but Shetty believed and ended up proving in court that he had a right to reinstate that loan, which meant that he can just make payments the way the original borrower did and not be worried about default. So the bank did not like that. The bank had a plan, apparently. They for sure had some kind of a plan because they would have received the notice of default. They would have been at least on some kind of notice that the HOA was foreclosing. They did nothing. They waited. But maybe that it didn't matter. Maybe they didn't need to get notice because they knew their interest would remain following the HOA foreclosure for all the reasons I started out with in this podcast. So the bank initiates its foreclosure proceedings, starting with the notice of default that was sent to Shetty. That begins their 90-day period. And during that time, Shetty tried to negotiate with the bank, but then the bank was not responsive. They did not want to allow him to continue to make payments, and they were making arguments like, Shetty's not the borrower. We did not negotiate a loan with him. We did not intend to lend to Shetty. We intended to lend to the first people who have already been foreclosed on, and since Shetty is a stranger to this loan, we don't have any legal obligation to allow Shetty to just continue making payments as if he was the original borrower. So the trial court actually agreed with the bank. Shetty at the trial court level, then again at the court of appeals level, argued that no, that's not correct, because Civil Code 2924C states that he, as a successor in interest, is allowed to reinstate the loan. And this is really old law. This is a statute that I believe has survived the Great Depression, or it came about after the Great Depression because of financial distress in the system. And it was better, the California legislature and probably many other jurisdictions all throughout the country after economic events like the Great Depression, the legislatures decided that it's better when there's so much economic distress to make it easier for people to keep their homes and to not forfeit property and their rights. So they created this right, this statutory right to reinstate. And the bank, you know, didn't like it in this case, but they were wrong according to the Court of Appeals. Now the trial court agreed with the bank, but the Court of Appeals reversed and stated that Shetty was a successor in interest. The bank said, no, he's not a successor in interest because he is not a successor on the mortgage. He didn't receive any kind of assignment on the mortgage. He was never in privity with the mortgage company. He never had any successor rights as to the mortgage. Shetty's argument was, well, successor in interest isn't necessarily about rights under the mortgage and those mortgage contracts and whatnot. Shetty argued that his rights came from just being a successor in interest on title, and that's in the statute. So if you look at 2924C, a successor in interest could be actually somebody who is the next or the successor, successive owner to that property. And the Court of Appeals agreed with Shetty. So Shetty, because he made that argument, was able to be reinstated on a loan that he never actually qualified for. He just bought the property at foreclosure auction brought by an HOA, and he would have been able to continue just making payments. Unfortunately, according to the case, could have been decided as moot and thrown out for mootness, but Shetty still had damages. He had to refinance, so he didn't want to risk losing the condo, losing the court case, and therefore losing the condo and his rights to the condo. So he refinanced or came up with the money or something like that. So the bank tried to argue that the case was moot, but it wasn't. The court said, no, it's not moot because Shetty has been damaged by the bank's violation of the law, and he can prove his damages, and that still needs to be decided by the court at the trial court level. So this was an interesting case. I think the key takeaway here is if you buy a property at auction, it's good to know if it was an HOA auction because there's probably going to be a forced mortgage that survives the foreclosure. And then you'll want to work on reinstating if that's the case by contacting the mortgage lender. And you might want to bring up this case. Definitely talk to an attorney before you get into any of this kind of business. You want to understand with somebody who's looking deeply into your facts and issues, and that's going to be an attorney who's trained on the law, these laws that we're talking about. We're not attorneys. We look at these issues from our business perspective. We are in the non-judicial foreclosure business. We are a real estate company. We are a real estate firm. We provide real estate services to banks, to attorneys, to private individuals and beneficiaries who lend money. We also do mortgage origination. We also do real estate sales. We have agents that work for us, and we happen to be in this non-judicial foreclosure space. If you ever have any questions about this business, about mortgages, about sales, and especially non-judicial foreclosure, like we're talking about here today, feel free to reach out. You can email me. That's the most convenient way, and we can set up a phone call or a video call or meet in person. My email address is chuck@fund2000.com. This is the fund2000.com real estate podcast, and our website is fund2000.com. That's for our mortgage side. If you ever want to look at our business, our non-judicial foreclosure business, go to tdprocessing.com. And that's also where you can initiate a foreclosure if you have a client or you yourself hold paper on any property. Our clients are banks, credit unions, beneficiaries, private individuals, and attorneys hire us all the time. We help attorneys help their clients, and it turns out to be a good deal because the attorneys can get the benefit of our service, and we help them. All attorneys look good because we explain the whole process. We do it for very affordable. We don't charge attorneys' fees. We charge trustees' fees, which is regulated by statute. So we are not compensated the same way as attorneys. Now, that makes it difficult for attorneys to get into this business because it's not lucrative in the same way that attorneys' fees are. We're paid much less, but we have a system and we have economy and scale and efficiencies that we're able to handle a lot of files, and we do get compensated. It's good for all of us to work together, is my point. So attorneys, banks, credit unions, private individuals, they all find benefit in hiring us. We do good work for a reasonable regulated fee. Again, if you have any questions, chuck@fund2000.com. Have a great day.